to see that the attempt to complete yourself, to find a more complete and more fulfilled sense of self on the level of the story, that attempt is futile. Because on the level of the story that you are telling yourself in the head of who you are, you're not going to make it. No story has a happy ending. A few false happy endings, such as a wedding, that used to be the traditional happy ending on films and plays. But we all know that's a false happy ending. There's no happy ending because all your achievements are going to dissolve and you're going to die. And then no matter how many millions you have in the bank, it becomes meaningless. And what is left of every story is the 2-inch gap between your date of birth and date of death on your gravestone. The dash that contains all the sufferings, all the drama that was part of me and my story. And somebody derived their sense of self from all that. They thought that was who they were. It's sad. They never realized who they are. They were trapped in a fiction, their sense of identity trapped in a fiction for a whole lifetime. Maybe if they were lucky, shortly before their death or on their deathbed, the whole story collapsed and something else emerged, and that happens occasionally. Occasionally, as death approaches, maybe it's only a few minutes or a few hours away, there's suddenly, and some people who have been sitting with a dying person have reported that in certain instances, something shines through suddenly. It's almost a light that comes through. And that happens when the mentally made sense of identity, the fictitious sense of identity, dissolves. Because that is it heavily obscures the light of consciousness that is underneath. And it can happen shortly before death that fiction dissolves, and suddenly it's like a flowering. There's an enormous light shining through, as if a flower had just opened. And it could have opened before, but it opened and only a few minutes before death. But at least it opened. One could say the purpose of that life is fulfilled. But the message here is that you don't need to wait for your death approaching before you can know who you are beyond a mental image of who you are. You don't have to wait for death to approach, because you might not get it even then. You may be trapped in that image even as you die, and that means you would die in terrible, terrible fear and anxiety, because that image is dying, the me is dying. The transformation of consciousness that is happening to each one of you is that kind of death, but it is not the physical death. It's the death of what I call the me, or what in some spiritual traditions is called the self, which is a mind-made sense of self, that is dissolving. So really, why we are here is to undergo that death voluntarily. Well, partly voluntarily. Because if you hadn't gone through great suffering already due to being trapped in a mental image of me, which is a suffering sense of self, a sense of self that is unhappy a lot of the time. So you've been trapped in a suffering sense of self, and the suffering has become so acute that something within you said, this is too much. There must be something else. I can't go on like this. I'm saying this because that happened to me. So, it looks as if you had chosen to come here, and that's fine, that's one perspective on it. But really, you were driven here because you want to die. You want to die that death of the self, the little me in the head, because that's not who you are. Now, the little me doesn't want to die, so there are two movements inside you. One is the movement towards liberation, and it's a very strong and increasingly powerful movement to become free of that. Something far vaster is emerging in you than even the heaviest and most dramatic story of me, than even the heaviest me could be, that thinks, oh, I'm so heavy. Nothing, you can sometimes see people, you say, well, there's no chance that they would ever become liberated in this lifetime if you look at the heaviness of their drama and their total identification with the drama of me. But you might be wrong, because very often the most unlikely people suddenly step beyond. And perhaps the monk who's been practicing meditation for 30 years hasn't stepped quite beyond yet. There's still a me and mental image of me as the spiritual one. And there might be a criminal here in a prison cell whose sense of mentally made sense of self suddenly dissolves. And what emerges is great joy, aliveness, and peace, and a state of connectedness with being, a vastness which is not separate from you, is one with who you are, can only be expressed in paradox. It is you and yet much greater than you. So we are here to connect with that vastness that lies underneath the storyline of me. And we are allowing the story of me to come to an end. Your sense of identity is no longer derived from the content of your mind. Whatever thoughts go through your mind, you are no longer a thought-based entity. Thoughts still happen, but thoughts don't give you an identity anymore. Then thought is not problematic. The continuous stream of thinking is only problematic because your sense of self is trapped in it. That makes life extremely problematic, and every thought tells you how problematic your life is. I'm not complete. I need, I want, I must have. Where is it? To complete myself, I'm looking for myself. I want to add something to the content of me. It might be acquisition, it might be material things, it might be relationships, or it may be in higher developed humans' knowledge. It is still the search. Nothing wrong with knowledge, but here we are speaking of the self-seeking through knowledge, to seek a stronger sense of me through knowledge. And we've all met people whose sense of self is primarily identified with all their knowledge. People, if you go to universities, you meet many of them. I was there. In other places, the content that primarily gives you an identity might be appearance. It might be, could be anything. It is amazing what that sense of self can use and does use to strengthen itself. From the smallest to the biggest, it's just like an animal, maybe a pig, that will eat almost anything and absorb it, and that's me. And it's not anything, even a miserable experience can be added to my basket of miserable experiences, and when my sense of self is predominantly unhappy, as is the case with many, with others it's half-half, happy, unhappy, happy, unhappy. In others, it's predominantly unhappy, and they're telling everybody or themselves in their head their unhappy story and how they're trying to get out of it. For years they've been trying to get out of their unhappy story of me. But their primary sense of self, the content with which they are identified in the mind and in the emotional field, mental-emotional content, is misery. So when that is the case, what they're looking for to strengthen their sense of self is a further piece of misery, because other things wouldn't fit in that basket. They would not be compatible with all these things that are in the basket. If it's predominantly misery, I'm looking for more misery, and myself gets even stronger, a more miserable self. But the ego loves that. That ego feels stronger in that. So the world is full of people who are looking for further unhappy experiences, mad as it might seem, to strengthen their sense of self. You can sense it when you have certain sensitivity and presence, when you meet someone who has a very heavy sense of self that is predominantly identified with misery. And that, of course, the pain body comes in there, which we may address a little bit later. So it wants more of that. It will use anything to strengthen itself.